Voters in Houston last night rejected an ordinance that would have established protections from discrimination for gay and transgender residents, as well as several other classes. The measure failed substantially, a vote of 61-39%. The battle over the referendum attracted attention from the White House, sports figures, celebrities. Opponents of the local law called it the bathroom ordinance, based on the fear that it would allow male sexual predators to enter women's bathrooms. Kimmy King is with us to talk about last night's vote, how it relates to the LGBT rights movement at large, including here in Wisconsin. She's a professor of political science at the University of North Texas. Kimmy, welcome back.
Good to be back.
Well, I want to start by seeing what this ordinance was about, because you had one side, supporters of it, saying this is about discrimination, like in a lot of cities. You had the other side saying this is about letting men wander into women's bathrooms. What was this ordinance?
Well, this ordinance on its face really looked at providing equal access in a wide range of city employment, city services, city contracting, housing, public accommodations, and private employment. The sticking point are public accommodations, right? Because that involved the bathroom issue. And I think one of the things that's really interesting about the way in which this issue was transformed is something that happens quite common in American politics with these very highly contentious issues, that we have what's called issue framing going on. And so conservatives were able to reframe the issue and in essence say, if you pass what looks like on its face an equal protection ordinance, it will be used in these nefarious ways. And that was why there was such a backlash. And you see the 61%, which in political terms, that's a trouncing. Anytime you get above 60%, it's considered to having been defeated quite handily. So that's really what it boils down to, was taking that component, running it to its logical extreme, and then framing the issue for the voters in that way.
And a lot of political capital was spent by supporters, including the mayor of America's, what, fourth largest city?
Yes, and an openly lesbian mayor at that. And it's part of something that you see actually happening all over the country. You saw it in Colorado way back in the 90s, where urban centers have become much more liberal and democratic-leaning in their approach to politics, where the outlying suburbs and rural areas tend to be more conservative. And so this was the city of Houston attempting to put forward a referendum that in our city, in the liberal areas, this is how we want to proceed, and there was backlash as a result. And so Parker had taken on this cause. She's not eligible to run for mayor again because of term limits. And so as a result, this has been an issue that's really been going on there for about 9 months. And quite honestly, it's going to be an issue that you're going to see played out across the country as we continue to debate this issue about LGBT rights.
Now, these issues are going on all over the country, as you say. Gay marriage, same-sex marriage, in a lot of ways has been resolved. We're just talking about subsidiary things like, you know, who you can sell a cake to or refuse service to. The issue here seemed to be centered around transgender residents and their public access rights. Is that the frontier now, the T in LGBT?
Well, it's going to be really interesting to see. Keep in mind that the federal government has recently raised the issue out of the Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights, which has ordered a taxpayer-funded school district to allow a male transgender student who dresses like a girl and otherwise identifies as female to use the shower. And they've said that basically you have 2 weeks to comply or you can lose federal monies. And so there is a battle going on with the federal government and the state governments, and now you're going to see city and county governments get involved as well. I don't know that this will become the poster child for where the debate goes. Most people looking at this issue say the real concern is about religious liberty exemptions. Will people, if you, based on your sincere religious beliefs, are opposed to LGBT rights, will a church have to perform gay marriages? I think those are going to be the issues that tend to come up to the top. This one is just very interesting because there was so much attention on the national stage about it.
We are looking at one of yesterday's election results from across the nation. This one in the city of Houston on a discrimination measure in that that city, an ordinance. It was rejected overwhelmingly by voters. Kimmy King is with us from the University of North Texas. Will we see battles like this with or without the bathroom issue over discrimination ordinances in other cities, maybe at the state level too, Kimmy?
Yes, you will, and you're going to see a continuation of issues. It's not going to be, the debate shifts from marriage equality or same-sex marriage, depending on your perspective, to talking about issues like custody, right? Issues of divorce will start to come into play, how you divide up property. These sorts of issues in familial relations are, I think, going to be the issues that you see much more happening. But you're also seeing in general, I think it's interesting because I have to point out the Ohio case, right, where the marijuana initiative went down because it was thought that there were special interests there that were going to benefit more from the legalization of marijuana. And it's mobilizing the public on different issues to get them to turn out in these initiative proposals. So you're actually seeing more civic engagement. And as we engage the larger community, whether it's urban or rural, you're going to get these kinds of battles because the different interest groups are going to portray them in certain ways. And so certainly right now the issue of bathrooms is all up in everybody's face. But I guarantee you in another week it'll be something else.
Now, speaking of issue groups and outside interests, was a lot of money coming into this locally in Houston and from around the country?
Yes, absolutely. And that's one of the things about patchwork legislation, I'm just going to call it that, where you go in and you try to get little bites of the apple in different places to get your policy changes. One of the reasons behind why that can be difficult is because it gets very expensive. One of the concerns over marriage equality was the fact that there was all kinds of litigation going on all over the country at state and at federal level. So when the Supreme Court came in and in essence created this kind of national uniformity, it ended the debate and much of the fighting about it. It's now just going to shift out in different ways.
Now, speaking of patchwork legislation, something different for us here in Wisconsin, we don't generally have this referendum process. We have constitutional amendments that need to be approved by voters. You know, we have local school referenda and advisory referenda. That's it. So how does having those binding referenda in place affect politics in a city or a state?
Well, one of the things about it is that in most situations, you have to go out and you have to get a number of signatures. You may or may not have to get, like, the city council or the state legislature to approve it to go on the ballot. But then keep in mind, when the voters come in, they can just shift it, right? And they can throw a referendum back on the ballot to try to change the situation. You know, I think one of the things that'll be really interesting is the extent to which we start thinking outside the box. So I'm going to put forward something to you about my home institution, which is the University of North Texas, and that is we had an issue about LGBT rights a few years ago, and bathrooms specifically. And what we did, rather than get into a huge battle over it, was we stepped back and we said, let's look at the coalitions involved here. And when we looked at it, we discovered that there were actually single mothers with children that didn't really want to take their little boys into women's bathrooms. And we saw there were fathers with little girls who they didn't want to just send into a women's bathroom. And so we strategically looked across the campus and we created what we're calling family bathrooms. And those, in essence, created a space for single dads, for single moms, for transgendered persons, and in general for the public that doesn't feel comfortable about public bathrooms, provided them with a private space. We ended that debate on this campus by just creating a few strategically placed family bathrooms. We brought together broad coalitions of people, and we solved the problem.
Very briefly, Kimmy, do you think there are going to be a lot of contentious issues that we can kind of work around in that way?
I think the bathroom issue is a safe cause, to be honest with you. I think the religious liberty issue will have to be resolved next. And the role that churches and persons with sincere beliefs have regarding LGBT issues, that's going to be next up on the docket. That's going to be the next one that you see all of the fights about. So watch for those first.
Kimmy, thanks as always.
You betcha.
That's Kimmy King, professor of political science at the University of North Texas, looking at yesterday's vote in Houston on an anti-discrimination ordinance.